Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. About a year ago, Northumberland County created a workforce housing program. The idea was to build affordable housing to attract people to work in Northumberland. In a perfect world, these people would fill gaps in the local workforce. Plus, they would have an affordable home to move here. In the face of a major housing crisis within the county and across the country, the creation of affordable housing is critical. The workforce housing program is separate from all other efforts by local municipalities to stimulate construction of affordable homes. There's another twist. Part of the program is aimed at recruiting foreign workers. The county is collaborating with international recruiters to bring workers from Colombia and Jordan to the county. Some of the housing would be for them. As you listen carefully, figure out, is this a good strategy? I am absolutely delighted to have back Dan Borowick, Director of Strategic Initiatives for Northumberland County. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, as always.
We spoke about this initiative a year ago. The county had just passed a bylaw to create a corporation for the sole purpose of creating workforce housing. Now, before we get into the update, would you be kind enough to reprise us on what is workforce housing?
Certainly, more importantly, thank you for this opportunity. And yes, it has been about a year since we first talked about this. So, from our perspective, workforce housing is specifically geared to try and attract talent. And ensure an opportunity for any talent that we attract to have a place to live in community. Housing costs are, of course, a significant factor and a real newsworthy factor on an ongoing basis in terms of the cost of housing. By creating a workforce housing corporation, our intent was also to distinguish that from our existing Northumberland County Housing Corporation, which deals specifically with rent geared to income, social housing, and affordable housing. We specifically went to the workforce housing model because we thought that there are some opportunities related to workforce housing, and looked at a couple of different models. One that we mirrored this project on is Attainable Homes Calgary, which has been in operation for about the last 10 years. And it was based on the premise of building a series of partnerships with builders, developers, and the city of Calgary to utilize land that the city of Calgary had as surplus land, and building housing on that land so that there was no cost for the land to go forward.
And before we go too far, is it possible just to take a quick step back? You were talking about workforce housing, and then you distinguished that from affordable housing. Explain to us, what is the difference between the two? Because they certainly sound like the same thing.
They do, but in our case, workforce housing, and in the model that we've assembled, the intent is that we are trying to attract workforce to Northumberland. And one way to do that, or at least maybe give us an edge in trying to attract workforce to Northumberland, is to provide housing at a cost that is offset by the household income of the individuals coming into Northumberland. So we're building this in terms of as a method for talent attraction. It's different than for affordable or rent geared to income, because this is not a social services driven initiative. This really is an economic development driven initiative in terms of trying to secure a workforce for Northumberland.
Why do we need to guarantee housing for workers? Shouldn't we just be creating affordable housing and let the marketplace sort it out?
Well, in leaving it strictly to the marketplace sorting it out, the marketplace is driven by the private sector opportunities afforded the building community, and right now, those price points are significantly beyond the reach of the type of talent we're hoping to attract in Northumberland. This kind of stems from, you know, some of the anecdotal information that we have, as well as our own attempts to try and attract from a countywide perspective, trying to attract talent for positions within the county. The salary structure and that we're offering still does not provide enough to try and make it possible for especially those initial frontline or mid management positions to try and acquire a home when that home in the area is generally priced across Northumberland at this point in time at about $750,000. And with interest rates that are not as affordable as they were in the past, the only one of the ways to try and offset that is to negotiate with the lower tier municipalities to determine if they would be willing to provide land at no cost. Many of the lower tier municipalities, in fact, all of the lower tier municipalities, have some surplus land, which could be used to build workforce housing.
I'd like to come back in a moment and explore that in a little more detail. But you recently provided an update to the Municipal Task Force on Housing and Homelessness in the county. This is a group of politicians, one from each of the seven municipalities and not the mayors, who discuss issues around affordable housing and homelessness. You and the county planner met with them. Now, in your report to the task force, you are tying this initiative tightly to those federal and provincial settlement services. In other words, this is about bringing immigrants to the county and giving them a place to live. Is that correct?
It's part of that. That it's not solely for that, but certainly it is a mechanism that is part and parcel of the type of negotiations we have conducted with both the federal and provincial ministries, who are responsible for settlement services, and in point of fact, in some cases in particular, where the need for employees, especially in areas like healthcare, early childhood education, those areas, the availability of skilled talent in those areas is available, but we cannot, in the case of the organizations that we're dealing with, one of the provisions is that we would provide housing or the opportunity to acquire home ownership for those individuals. So it's not it's a bit different than the standard framework of having refugees come into the county under the one of the potential programs that are out there. The one we're trying to utilize is a program which welcomes new Canadians into community, but they are considered employment ready. And if they are employment ready, that makes them sort of check all the boxes by having the skills necessary to fill a particular job. The community determines what that job is. And then from there, that position is filled by new Canadians who can qualify for that job. Oftentimes in a refugee, most times in a refugee situation, you're trying to do this in an opposite fashion. You're trying to provide a solution for individuals who may as yet not have the necessary skills or the language skills to perform a certain task. In this case, we're working with organizations that provide both the training has been completed as well as a certification of language. So in the case of something like a personal support worker or an early childhood education worker, we are being very, very specific in who we are targeting for what particular jobs. And so the other piece of this puzzle is to have workforce housing available to make that doable. Because what you really want out of all of this is you want not just the individual, but you want the family to be parcel of that, so that they become part of community, as opposed to the standard type of plug and play where, you know, we have an individual who is more than willing to come and work and remains for about 1 year and then leaves because they can't find community, or they don't have any way of establishing themselves within community with their family.
Do you already receive monies to bring people into Northumberland County, or are you applying for those monies?
We're in process for that. Is where we are.
How much are you applying for?
Well, in its initial stages, it's a one at a time. There are sort of one at a time opportunities depending upon the country of choice and the type of candidate being looked at. The settlement services program here is funded through Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship Canada. So those monies are the monies that support the actual individual we have in place for that function. In terms of attracting someone into a work program under the type of programming that we are currently looking at, those individuals are being guaranteed a job and are not being supported in any other way through federal or provincial dollars. They are treated as individuals who have successfully garnered employment and are being, through the services we provide through settlement services, being fitted into community.
You said in your report to the task force that there's already 150 migrant workers from Central and South America working in the agriculture community in Northumberland. How is this an example of the strategy you're trying to implement?
Well, that one's slightly different, because the path forward with programming through both the federal government in particular is complicated and complex. That 150 are here on a seasonal basis as temporary farm labor, and so they do not qualify under some of the programming that we are going with that actually establishes permanency
mention them in the report then, if they're not part of this program?
Well, I mentioned it in the report primarily to give some overview to the housing committee that recognizes that we need to be aware that there are multiple programs and there is diversity across the board in terms of what we're drawing on for labor.
Because you also mentioned in the report that you are recruiting from the Middle East and Africa.
Yep.
Those are big places. Where specifically are you recruiting from, and for what?
Well, we're recruiting out of Colombia, and we're recruiting out of Jordan. And maybe I can give you the backdrop to that so that you get some sense of how that comes into the into the, into the, into, the, into play. We are working with an organization called the Shapiro Foundation, and the Shapiro Foundation is a U.S.-based foundation that has made investment at this point in time in Atlantic Canada with respect to healthcare workers. And so it was suggested through Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship Canada that we might want to have a conversation with the Shapiro Foundation to look at how their model works in terms of talent attraction. The Shapiro Foundation is a bit different than any other foundation in that they do not provide any money to, for instance, Northumberland County. What they do is they invest their dollars at the country of source for talent and build relationships there, so that what happens out of those countries is that the talent one might be looking for has been thoroughly vetted by agencies on the ground, and that the individuals involved have not been taken for a ride by immigration agencies to try and make their way to in country. It's a very noble approach, and it's also a very, very credible approach. And so we've had ongoing discussions with them, and are looking at doing some of the pilot work under a program known as the Economic Mobility Pathways Pilot, which is a federal program that tends to apply to this current initiative of trying to attract talent, have that talent be available in jobs that are absolutely essential in Northumberland, and furthermore provide accommodation or workforce housing for that talent.
So let's then get a little more sounds very much so, but let's be more specific. Can we, because who are you trying to attract in terms of skills? Now, you've mentioned personal service workers, you've mentioned childcare. Who are you trying to bring in, and where are you trying to source those people then?
Okay. The personal support workers the source for personal support workers can come in point of fact both through Colombia two areas that we're looking at, the first one being Colombia, because the Shapiro Foundation has done significant work in Colombia, in Colombia there are a significant group of Venezuelan refugees who meet some of the standards that we're looking for in areas of personal support workers. And so the second country is Jordan, because in Jordan is a college known as Luminous College, which has a wide range of programs that are coordinated with other colleges around the world to coordinate curriculums. And they offer up opportunities in specific areas for refugees who meet both the skills requirement for the job and language requirements. What Shapiro helps with, or what the Shapiro Foundation assists with, is the distilling down of individuals at that end to then offer the following X number of individuals who may or may not qualify for a job within some of our organizations here. So if it's healthcare and it's personal support workers, or if it's a high demand area such as early childhood education, those are two areas as part of this pilot that we are attempting to engage in and move forward.
Some of the listeners may start thinking, well, why do we have to recruit overseas? Why not create housing if that's our goal? make it affordable, and let's recruit within a domestic market, bring these people here, because maybe they won't come here because they just can't afford to live here or commute to Northumberland to fill these jobs.
True. Our current challenge has been to try and find anyone locally to fill some of these jobs, because there's a shortage thereof. And I think if you look at our current demographic, we're not attracting a youth market here, you know.
If we're talking about housing, and I want to put a fine point on it, if we're talking about housing and you're going to create affordable housing that's geared to income, yep, basically, why not just build the units and just open the doors and say, hey, you know, you get hired locally, here's a place where you could possibly live, bring your family, move here.
I think we're open to both, but I think we're also hedging our bets that we're going to be also reliant on a component of that housing to also be available to new Canadians. If we look at diversity and inclusion, I think we have to be available for that. We're not trying to be prescriptive in this, but we're sort of working both ends of the stick here, in that we're trying to create renewal in workforce. We cannot find individuals who are readily available to fill some of the demands that we have for workforce. And also, our workforce housing initiative is you know, we're taking small bites as we go forward. We're trying to institutionalize a change here by suggesting that if we build workforce housing and can attract individuals who will commit to working in Northumberland and are within a particular gross household income range, that they can then qualify through a bank for that workforce housing, then we start the process of renewing our workforce.
It seems like there's a lot of moving parts. When can we expect to see the first homes constructed?
I would suggest we'll see the first homes constructed next year, in 25.
So what are the next steps then?
Well, we have a couple of pieces of land that we are in discussion with the lower tier municipalities about moving forward. We also
which ones need, though? Which ones? Before you go on, which ones?
There is property in Trent Hills. There is property in Alma Caldeman. There is property in Brighton, and so the workings of this are that we need to ensure that the lower tier municipality is comfortable with the arrangement. We need the final housing designs. We need also a methodology that allows for a request for proposal framework, so that we can ask and build a roster of developers who may wish to you know, qualify to do this, because we can't sort of pick and choose a developer. There has to be a process in place that you know, pre-qualifies a group of developers who may have an interest in doing this. For a lot of our smaller developers, the other attractive part of this is a lot of them build to their existing line of credit if they recognize that, you know, they are now building because there is demand for X number of units. It helps them in their banking situation.
Dan Borowick, Thank you so much for talking to me today.
No problem. Thank you.
That was Dan Borowick, Director of Strategic Planning for Northumberland County. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.